الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers, we discussed something about the refugees of Kosovo about a fortnight ago. And I mentioned that irrespective of what their lifestyles may have been, and irrespective of what they may have indulged in, or what their actions may have been, it is our duty as Muslim brothers to sympathize with Muslims in any part of the world who suffer some kind of calamity, some kind of disaster, some kind of hardship and problem. It is our Islamic duty to sympathize, to assist, to help. And we should look at our lives, that how different are we from them. If something comes upon someone far away, then our nature is this, that immediately we begin to make statements that they were far away from deen, they were indulging in zina, they were watching a lot of filth on television, and we cannot see much Islam in their lives, therefore Allah Ta'ala's azab came on them, and we think that we are holier than them. But our duty is to take a lesson from whatever happens in any part of the world, but sympathize and assist and help whosoever may be in problem. Today, it came to mind that since there is so much of talk of refugees, and indeed throughout the world at present, because man has become an animal, or majority of human beings are behaving like animals, or even worse than animals, because Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامُ بَلْهُمْ أَظَلُ. They are like the animals, in fact worse than them. Because the animals are not going to be questioned. If a lion has to eat up a buck, it is not going to be questioned. If a lion has to devour some other animal in the jungle for its meal, it is not going to be questioned. In the same way, other animals are not going to be questioned for any injustice. However, as human beings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us aqal, intelligence, and it is our duty to be just and fair, and to obey Allah and to worship Him alone, and to follow Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore, this refugee status that we hear of, that people all over the world are fleeing their countries when there's great amount of injustice, and they go to another country and become refugees. So at such a time, it is important, or it is necessary, that we also think of the refugees in the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Since it is Muharram, we have entered into the new year, and we know that Islamic calendar begins with the hijrat of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but there is no time to go into the details on that aspect today, because I want to mention another incident which is a forgotten incident. Or now and again, casually we mention it, but take no lessons from it. And that is the hijrat of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, and others, companions of his, 11 men and 5 women, that migrated or left the shores of Makkah Mukarrama. They left Jeddah and they went to Ethiopia, which was at that time called Habsha. Now that hijrat was undertaken at a time when the Muslims were going through very severe punishment, persecution, torture and trials. If we have to just discuss those incidents, or one or two also, the time will be up. But we all know, and we have heard many, many times, the terrible tests and trials that these companions of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were undergoing. The moment they accepted Islam, there was no question of garlands around their neck. There was no big jalsa and conference or big welcome for them. They knew that they are going to be punished, they are going to be beaten up. And what kind of torture? We cannot even read. Read the Hikayat al-Sahab of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, you will see many incidents in there. The worst kind of punishment that you can think of. Beatings of the worst kind. Putting them into bags and putting smoke inside those bags to suffocate them. Beating them, whipping them, tying them against the trees, depriving them of food and water for days and days. So many different kinds of persecutions and tests that they were undergoing. So Nabiyyu Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time gave the permission to the Sahabas. He told them that now, tafarraqu, disperse. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَجْمَعُكُمْ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now gave them the permission. He said, you can disperse, go away from Makkah Mukarramah, because you are not being allowed now to practice your deen. You are not being allowed to practice your deen. You are not allowed to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as He should be worshipped. You are being tortured and persecuted for no other reason except that you are believing in one Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was going through a very difficult time. But his concern was more about his companions. And therefore he allowed them now to make this hijrat. So that Usman radiallahu ta'ala, he was one amongst those people that made this hijrat to Abyssinia. At that time, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was questioned, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ نَزْهَبْ Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where must we go? So he pointed towards Ethiopia, he pointed towards Abyssinia, and he said, go there in that way. So very quietly, in a secret manner, they arrived at Jeddah, and it was just their luck, or it was Allah Ta'ala's madad, Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah Ta'ala's assistance, that there was a boat that was about to leave for Abyssinia. And these people, they boarded the boat, they paid 5 dirhams, and they departed from the shores of Jeddah. Now we are not talking about the present time when there's such beautiful navigational instruments that the person knows exactly where he is going. At present they don't even require a pilot on the plane. With computers you can fly the plane. Now at that time they did not know where they were really going to, which way the wind was going to blow them, and who was on that boat, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, and his other companions. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of du'as he must have made for these companions of his. And why did he send them in that direction towards Ethiopia or towards Abyssinia? Was because he said there's a Christian king there who is just and fair. So therefore you go there. When they arrived, I will have to cut it short and just give you the gist. And this is an incident that is well known to students of history and even little children. But we want to learn a few things from this incident. That when they arrived there, then the kuffar, realizing that these people have escaped, they have gotten away from their clutches, so they immediately began sending plenty of gifts to this king, Najashi. Plenty of gifts as a bribe. They gave their courtiers, they gave their king plenty of gifts. For what? So that these people may be handed back to them, to bring them back to Makkah Mukarramah and then persecute them and torture them and punish them even more. But when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and assistance comes, then all the planning and scheming of the enemies of Islam will fail. But when does the help of Allah come? When the people are also like them. That those who were prepared to accept anything, but not, they were not prepared to accept one thing. And that is, if somebody told them that don't worship Allah, disobey Allah, then they were not prepared to accept that. They were prepared to accept torture, they were prepared to accept death, they were prepared to burn in the fire, they were prepared to be thrown in boiling oil, they were prepared to be lying down on the ground with heavy stones on their chest on hot days. They were prepared for all those type of things, but the only thing they were not prepared to accept was disobedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for the sake of their iman, this sacrifice was made. Now here when they arrived, this was the condition. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He works in His own way. So these people thought that by means of these bribes, the king will hand them over and they will take them back. And they did not want in any kind of discussion to take place between the king, between Najashi and these people who had come over to Abyssinia. The reason for that is they knew so well that the moment these companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they give the message of deen, the moment they give the message of deen, any person who is unbiased, any person who is not prejudiced, any person who has got an open heart and mind, he will become influenced. They knew that the Quran Sharif has got such impact on the hearts of people, that the moment this king is going to listen to some verses of the Quran Sharif, he may also accept Islam. So therefore they thought that if these people can be just handed back to us, then that would be the end of the story. But the king was fair and just. He said, I cannot just hand them back. What is their sin? What is their crime? So they said that they have turned away from their forefathers' religion. They are worshipping one Allah. They have turned away from the deen of their forefathers. That is their only crime. So the king invited them. And we all know what happened in that court. But just to give you the gist or the meaning of that hadith, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, he was chosen to represent the Muslim delegation. Now these are refugees in the time of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Refugees in Ethiopia or Abyssinia as it was known at that time. And they have come here as refugees for what reason? For one reason only, and that is that they want to worship one Allah. They want to establish the deen of Allah in their own lives and in the lives of the people. They had no other crime that they had committed. That was the only thing. They were practical Muslims. They had gone through all kinds of suffering for the sake of deen and Islam. It was not just the property that they were interested in. It was not just the beautiful homes that they were interested in. It was not just the wealth that they were interested in. It was not their families that was of interest to them. Their only interest was the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the akhlaq and the character and the beautiful teachings of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to implement that in their lives. So here this was the group of refugees. Now when they were invited to the court, first of all, when Najashi questioned them and asked them that what is this new religion that you are following, then Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned a few things. It's a lengthy hadith. In other many kitabs you get different reports and riwayat, and many different things have been mentioned. But the gist of all those hadiths is one. And that is that Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned the akhlaq of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, he complained or he spoke about the weakness of the kuffar of Makkah, or when they were disbelievers, what was their weakness. He said that we used to worship idols, we used to eat carrion, dead meat we used to eat, whether the animal was slaughtered properly or whether it was just throttled to death, whatever was the condition, or it was a dead animal, we ate the meat, we ate the flesh of that animal. He said we used to murder and kill, we used to bury our young girls alive. This was our condition. Brothers used to be unjust to their own brothers. Brothers used to be unjust to their own brothers. We used to be ill-treating our neighbors. Our neighbors, we did not treat them in a gentle or a good manner. We ill-treated them. And we used to murder, we used to kill, we used to drink. We used to commit fornication and adultery. We committed all these type of sins. In different hadiths, different things are mentioned. But as a Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, first of all, he listed these things, that these are the things that we used to do. And then he says, then came amongst us a person whom we had tested. For 40 years of his life, he never spoke a single word of lie. He says, for 40 years of his life, a person who never spoke a single word of lie. So much so that we gave him the title of As-Sadiq and Al-Ameen, the most truthful one, the most honest one. Then he came and told us that we should worship one Allah. He invited us towards the worship of one Allah. He invited us towards justice and fair play. He ordered us to be good to our neighbors. We used to break family relationships. This Nabi of Allah, he ordered us to maintain family ties. We used to murder, we used to kill, we used to commit adultery and fornication. He declared these things as haram and forbidden. So we gave up all these evils. So now we started worshipping one Allah, and we gave up all those evils that I have listed. He gave all those evils yet which he had listed, and he said, we have given up all these things. And then, because of this, we were being persecuted, we were being tortured, we were being ill-treated, we were being harmed, we were not allowed to worship that one Allah. So our Prophet ﷺ gave us the permission to make hijrat. So when he related all these things, and then he said that Quran is being revealed upon Rasulullah ﷺ. So he said, do you know anything of that Quran? So Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited Surah Maryam. Kafa ya ayn sad zikru rahmati rabbika abdahu zakariya. From there he recited the whole surah. And in that surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had discussed about the birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the miraculous birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the talk of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam from the cradle. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. And he goes on. Inshallah, on some other occasion we'll discuss that. But in that Surah Maryam, there is mention of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's birth, and Allah Ta'ala had made him a Nabi and a Prophet. All those things were recited. It is mentioned in the hadiths that these people were Christians. But when they heard Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu recite these verses of the Quran Sharif, the beard of Najashi got wet with his tears. Read in the authentic hadiths recorded authentically with chain of narrators that the beard of Najashi got wet with tears. From here straight away we learn one thing, that that was a Christian ruler, but he too was following his Nabi Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam and keeping a beard. And we followers of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we feel ashamed to keep beard. Agar daadi ke rak lene se chehra badnuma hota, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. That if your face was going to look ugly with a beard, then the beard would not have been a sunnat of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, keep it one fist length, keep it clean and neat, but he says that if your face was going to look ugly with a beard, then it would not have been a sunnat of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, if I keep a beard, to log hansing, maine daadi rakhi to log hanste hai. I kept beard so the people are laughing. So he said, unko hasne dijiye taaki qiyamat ke din tumhe rona na pade. Because when you are going to come front of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if he has to hold your garment and say, what did you find wrong with my face? So my dear brothers, Hazrat, it is recorded that Najashi, his beard became wet with his tears. And all the others that were listening to the verses recited by Hazrat Jafar, they too were tearing, tears were pouring from their eyes. We read the Quran Sharif, not a single tear comes to our eye. No effect on our heart. We listen to the Quran Sharif, it has no impact on our hearts. Here the Christians are listening to it and it is having such an impact. And immediately the king said, I cannot send these people back with you. I cannot send them back. As far as your bribes are concerned, all those gifts that you brought, they called it gifts. But we know that those gifts were nothing but bribes. He said, you can take everything away. I do not require a single coin from there. Because Allah Ta'ala gave me my kingdom without any bribe. And there's a lengthy story as to how he got his kingdom. But the point is, after that, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, now ask them, that what is our crime? Did we murder anybody there? If we murdered and killed somebody, then we are prepared that you hand us over to them. If our crime is this, that we stole some person's property, then you can ask us, we will pay back whatever is due to whomsoever it is due. Whatever is our crime, they must tell us. They said, no, the only crime is this, that they have left their forefathers' religion. So look at the tests that they had to undergo. Look at the hardships and difficulties that they had to undergo when they turned away from their forefathers' religion. Now here we are not even talking about turning away from forefathers' religion. Our forefathers, alhamdulillah, most of them were Muslims. All we are saying is that follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget about the traditional family customs and practices. Find out from the Quran and the Sunnah what does Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expect of us. There they were prepared to undergo any kind of torture for the sake of the deen of Allah. So he said that whatever crime we have committed, we are prepared to pay for it. They said there's no other crime. So when they went back on that day, then the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said there's only one thing now that can make this king change his mind. And that is to say that these people hold a very bad opinion about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and they don't believe in him. But whereas the king had already heard the ayats of Surah Maryam, so again when they came this time, they said that they don't believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu again explained what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Najashi said that the truth is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's status is no more than what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. And he accepted Islam after that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Salatul Ghaib that we talk about, when he passed away, Najashi passed away, because he had given the Muslims refuge, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him that kind of status. But my point is this, that immediately after the acceptance of Islam, immediately after the acceptance of Tawheed and Risalat, immediately after the acceptance of belief in a day of judgment and life hereafter, the first things that the Muslims were taught was akhlaq. Fasting, Hajj and other things came later. The prohibition of wine all came later. But the first thing that they were taught was akhlaq, to be good to the neighbors, to be fair, not to be unjust, not to devour the properties of orphans and widows, to behave in a manner that is befitting a Muslim. So many kinds of etiquettes were taught to them. This is what effort they were making for that 13 years in Makkah, the akhlaq. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was constantly teaching them the akhlaq of a Muslim. Those people who say that it took them 13 years to build their iman, and sometimes even some of our elders, we misunderstand them. But to say that a sahabi took 13 years to build his iman, it is a very dangerous statement. Brothers, hear it from me if you didn't hear it from anyone else. Some people in their bayans, they say it took the sahabas 13 years in Makkah to learn iman. In the company of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just his one sight on a sahabi, and that sahabi becomes radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. There are so many incidents of a person accepting Islam, and after accepting Islam, he didn't have the opportunity to make a single namaz, because he became shaheed, or he passed away. He didn't have the opportunity to keep a single fast. He didn't have the opportunity to give zakat. He didn't have the opportunity to go for Hajj. But he was declared Jannati. And not only Jannati, but Allah is pleased with him and he was pleased with Allah. Because if in these days there are such Ahlullah, people of heart, that in their company people who come, there are some Ahlullah like that in the world still, that people come with so many different kinds of sins to them, and say that this is our lifestyle, and we have come with a load and a burden and a mountain of sins, an ocean of sins, and in their company just within a few days or a few months, and this person changes his life totally and his iman becomes like a rock and like a mountain. So in the company of Ahlullah of our times, if a person's iman can become like a rock, then Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his company a person is accepting Islam, and it takes him 13 years to learn iman. It takes Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu 13 years to learn iman. It takes Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu 13 years to learn iman. It takes Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha 13 years to learn iman, and in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that their iman was so weak that it took them 13 years. It is a very dangerous statement. What we believe is that the moment the person accepted Islam on the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was already a perfect Muslim. Therefore, if you look at the Quran Sharif also, those people who accepted Islam after the whole Quran Sharif was revealed, their status is not as high as those people who accepted Islam just after one ayat was revealed. Just one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq, was revealed. And those people who accepted Islam at that time, Allah Ta'ala calls them as-sabiqun al-awwalun. Their iman was of a higher status than even those people who accepted the iman and Islam after the whole Quran Sharif was revealed. So therefore, we must not think that in the 13 years, they were still very weak in their iman. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. They were of strong iman, solid iman. Their iman was like rocks. That is why all that persecution and torture they could undergo. Yes, they were being taught gradually by Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the different akhlaq. And they were learning. As they go along, they were learning. And the greatest thing was that they were being tested for sabr and for patience. That they must not become emotional and just go and start fighting. The test of sabr was there all the time. And it was an opportunity for them to keep on spreading that word of tawheed and invite towards tawheed. There are so many other lessons that we can take, and I had so many other things in mind, but whatever has been said, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. May Allah ta'ala strengthen our iman. And these refugees, wherever in whichever part of the world they are suffering, whether in Kosovo or in anywhere else, may Allah ta'ala make it extremely easy for them. And those who have passed away, may Allah ta'ala give them Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.